Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio, show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is December the 28th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you. Today is a Financial Friday, and today's show is going to, the topic of today's show is People Know Stuff Ain't Right. So very, very important, and that's actually a good thing. And the thing is, what are people going to start to do because of that? And you know, the conversation and the awareness of people all around us is really, really growing. And that's good, and that also means certain things for you guys, the everyday listener to Tando Radio Show. Meaning that now that people are becoming more aware, you need to really, really be on your overall P's and Q's and on your game, to make sure that you are in a positioning yourself so you won't have to compete for what everyone else is going to realize that they know that they're going to need. So we're definitely going to talk about that. People know stuff ain't right. And then so that you would actually start to take the necessary precautions to protect yourself and your family from the immediate threat that is here and upon everyone, particularly everyone that is classified as U.S. citizens living in the United States, continental United States, and abroad as well. So we're going to jump into that. But before we do that, everyone, please make sure you make a donation to Black Talk Radio Network. Without your donations, I don't know how much longer Black Talk Radio Network can stay on the air. So please, if you've never made a monetary donation and you actually partake of the show, please, and the programming, please make sure that you donate to the overall the format, the platform. You can do that at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Get some of your financial energy so that this network can stay on air. We have to feed the roots instead of just eating the fruit, okay? Without it, it will go bare. So I'm going to make a donation today as well. Hopefully all of you will as well. www.blacktalkradionetwork. Find a donation prompt that's there. Give a donation so that this network can stay on air. You could also support the network by being a member in its social media platform known as BTR Community. And you can find that at www.btrcommunity.com. Once you're there, become a member for only $24 a year, and then you can actually engage in a social media platform without being as adversely affected by way of your identity won't be sold, and the overall general public won't be exposed to what you're posting and everything else. Some people want to do that, but there's a defined price for being on FedBook, what a lot of people call Facebook, I call FedBook. It was actually put into existence to create an algorithm that they would be able to have an extensive database on people. So that and people have engaged in that over and overextended themselves so much. I've seen some of the most foolish things done there, and it's purposely, that's what that platform is for. And the bad thing about that foolishness becomes contagious, and it starts to dictate the overall the behavior of people all around them, and that's purposely done that way. So come on over to BTR Community for only $24 a year, and you can post inside of, have your social media activities inside of a platform that's created to benefit you. It's the only place that I actually post, so definitely do that. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, which you should be doing, you need to go to Prosperity Mint on the internet, www.prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in the inventory, then email info@prosperitymint.com saying you're a Tando Radio Show listener, and I sent you, and then they will contact you to explain the overall buying process. The only thing that will be done there won't be used for sales calls or anything else, but please respond to that. Very important, okay? So, and it's beneficial to you. You need to know the proper way of doing it. If you don't, you're going to regret it later on. So make sure that you do that, all right? So let's jump into what's in the news. We got Pastor Keith is here today. Good morning, Pastor Keith. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Good morning.
We are looking forward to today's show. So today's show, people know stuff ain't right is today's show. So hopefully people will start to do things about what they know that aren't right. But we're going to take a look at some very, very key things in today's show. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. Now, give me a second. I need to actually fix my overall computer really quickly so I can see the board. Got too many things open. Need to close some stuff down. And so just bear with me as we do that. Oh, but let me get into what's in the news.
Hey Dave. Good morning to you and Keith and the listeners.
Good morning, Brother Scotty.
Hey, I'm seeing the weather reports last night. Are y'all okay down there in Texas? I know there's some real serious inclement weather hitting parts of the country, and I saw Texas mentioned. Are y'all okay?
Yeah, we're good. It's a nice day today, but I'm gonna tell you, the 2 days ago, the 26th, man, it was raining like it was
25th.
The 25th and the 26th.
Yeah, it was
25th. Right? It was the 26th. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was. What did you say, Pastor?
I was wrong.
No. What did you say before that? You said you were right. I like that. Say that again. Nah, just a little side thing between me and Keith. But yeah, Scotty, the weather was really, really bad here. I mean, it was raining. I mean, it was a real, real torrential downpour. But today and yesterday was pretty cool. Had a cold front come through, which is fine. But we had some bad weather, and I know that other parts of the country is getting bad weather as well.
Yeah,
and
we're
hope
getting
that
it right.
You all are taking the necessary precautions with that.
Yeah, we're getting it right now. The part of North Carolina, it was projected, that it was going to be heavy flooding in western North Carolina, western South Carolina, I imagine parts of Tennessee and what have you. But it started raining like maybe 9 o'clock last night. It hasn't stopped. But it's not raining real hard where I am, so I'm hoping, you know, although I'm in an elevated area, I'm still concerned about other people in the lower lying area. So hopefully people are prepared for that.
Yeah, and it's serious because I know that this weather is going to travel from Texas, and it's going to, that storm gets, you know, it can get bigger, and there's a lot of things that can happen with it. So yeah, we hope that everyone is taking the necessary precautions with this inclement weather that is going to be continue to happen. So you know, it's winter time, and so we always need to be prepared for old man winter, because it's a lot that goes along with it. So make sure that you are taking the necessary precautions, and that you and the family will do well and have a meaningful response to things that we should know that are can cause major, major problems. So with that being said, Keith, yeah, it was pretty severe, the weather that we got here, rain-wise. And so it really touched you know, I was like, wow, this is getting bad. But hopefully, you know, that happens. It's a part of the season that we all go through. And so it is something that we need to be aware of, definitely. So, okay. So with that being said, Keith, did you want to chime in on anything before we get going?
Not yet.
Cool. Keith is ready to go. I am ready to go as well. Let me just get a little better situated. I got way too many windows open, and I can't get to where I need to get to. So I'm going to get there. But just bear with me. You all had to close a couple things down so we can start today's show. All right. So there we go. Hopefully I'll be able to see the board in a second. So while I do that, let me clear up a couple of things. Here we go. All right. So I'm going to jump into what's in the news. So, and then while we do that, first article from what's in the news, this article comes from Criminals, Nothing But Criminals, CNBC channel. Sears may be down to his last 24 hours. Iconic retailer likely liquidated if no bids by tomorrow. So Sears may be down to his last 24 hours in business. So definitely wouldn't be surprised that this is happening. We are in the overall expansion of the full-blown empire collapse, economic collapse of the United, what is known as the United States of America, which will become the untied states of America, because it is likely down to its last, I don't know how many hours, how many months, or how many years, but it's in its last, and there will be an iconic liquidation of this nation, because there will be no bids. They will be only claimers, and there will be liquidation that will happen as the U.S. goes into receivership. And this is, in my opinion, is definitely upon us, and we need to prepare. So check out that article. Next article from
and
Reuters.
Before you move on, we got a call from Jenna. He might have a question about that article or comment.
Thank you, Jenna, because I couldn't see the board as of yet. So let's go to Jenna. Jenna, what's going on? Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you, bro?
Greetings. I hope all y'all enjoyed the holidays, and if you don't celebrate, that you enjoyed your family at least. I had a real quick brief question. You just mentioned Sears. One of the things that I do when I be seeing just whatever kind of store closed down, I go into the inventory, and I was wondering, would you say that it's a good idea? I personally think it is, but would you say that it's a good idea to go and scavenge their jewelry section while they're going out of business and everything is on that fire sale, as you would say? My question. Thank you.
Oh yeah, that and for you know, I would look at going to Sears. I wouldn't look at I would look at it as an opportunity to grab some money from Sears, and that would be money in the form of tools, in the form of strategic clothing, things of that nature.
Dave, you right. Tools, cause Craftsman originally was only sold by Sears. And Craftsman tools
right.
are some of the most durable tools that you can get a hold of. So I'm glad you said tools.
Yes, definitely. It's really time to grab the money. And tools is a form of money because it has intrinsic value. And I tell you what I wouldn't do with Sears. I wouldn't go into Sears to buy something cute, to buy something, you know, so-called cosmetically nice. That's not really what a prudent person should be looking at when it comes to Sears right now. What should be looked at is getting money at a great entry point, and because that stuff is going to be extremely valuable coming forward. So, okay, cool. I can see the board now. So, yeah, Jenna, I would definitely do that. And there's Sears that are all over the place. Grab what it is that you can grab that has value. I wouldn't do anything that, you know, has anything for cosmetic or, you know, anything that's just for consumerism. Ooh, it's a nice, you know, T-shirt. No, you don't. It's not really a need. You could get a T-shirt much better. Get the things that you need. Gloves for the family, coats for the family for the winter, the tools, some of the kitchenware that will be needed. You know, can openers are really, really critical in the prepping world. Can openers are extremely important. So make sure you have the, and not the electrical one, the hand ones, okay? Those are extremely, so that's what, how I would be looking at Sears right now. So definitely everyone take full advantage of that. All right, let's jump into what else is, what's in the news. And next article, what's in the news from Reuters, dropping U.S. consumers' confidence strokes fear of economic slowdown. Well, unfortunately, it ain't going to be an economic slowdown. It's much, much more. It's going to be a collapse of the common person's economy. Very, very important. So check out that article. Next article from Yahoo. Trump declares the end to U.S. policemen role in surprise Iraq visit. Celebrity figurehead, Pastor Keith's favorite political figure, Donald Trump, whom he voted for, campaigned for, and has a sign on his cars, Trump and Pence, 2000 and whatever, what year was that?
16,
yes. Celebrity figurehead Trump used a lightning visit to Iraq, his first with U.S. troops in a conflict zone since being elected, to defend the withdrawal from Syria and declare an end to the Americans' role as the global policeman. And let me just say this. Sounds nice. Should have been done a long, long time ago. But believe me, the role of the U.S. has, it wasn't so much the policeman. It was really the overseer and stealing resources and everything else. And I guess you could say police as well. But see, they try to put a spin on it through propaganda to make it look something other than what it was. It was nothing more than a Gestapoism from organized crime of loan sharking and enforcement of those loan sharks deals all over the world. But here's what's happened. The rest of the U.S. will lose that overall status, not because they think of from a moral standpoint that they shouldn't be doing it, is that they can't get away with it any longer.
Hey, you talking about what? All right. You're talking about Iraq?
Yeah, Iraq and just all over the world.
Yeah, Iraq.
You know how they say the political, the U.S. is the policeman,
yeah,
of the world?
We left, seems to me, we left Iraq in 2011, and they actually asked us to come back in 2014 so that they can put those things in check. But on this last visit, what has happened, they said, look, you came in under the cover of darkness. You didn't contact none of our people, you know. They say that ain't right.
Yeah.
So, and then what it happened is they said that, so from what their point of view is, they're saying like, look, you, and he stated this, he said that you can use Iraq as a place to set up missiles for Russia, et cetera, et cetera. And Iraq is like, you know what? We're not trying to get into the middle of all your conflict. You know, forget the fact that you got missiles and stuff set up for Russia and all these other things. We don't want no part of that.
Yeah.
So we want you out.
Go ahead, Scotty.
The Iraqis, ever since they were the government got a majority of the Shia Muslims, who are, you know, more closely aligned with Iran than the Sunnis, which, you know, they're aligned with Saudi Arabia. But since the Shia took over the government in Iraq, they have been calling for the U.S. troops to leave. And, you know, all these prior administrations have just simply kept them there and what have you. So they're still troops in Iraq. 17 years in Afghanistan, and since 2011, you know, in Syria and what have you, even though 2,000 troops ain't a lot of troops, but still, though, we have a presence there. And, you know, yesterday, this is how I look at it. I try to divorce myself from the emotions that the mainstream media tries to invoke in us concerning Trump. Is Trump a belligerent individual? Yes, he is. Is he often, you know, his language often offensive? Yes, it is. Has he done some crazy stuff or some immoral stuff? Yes, he has. But you know what, though? For a long, long time, people have been calling for the United States to stop being the world police and what have you. And I agree with you, Dave, that perhaps Trump is not looking at it from a moral standpoint because he hasn't said anything, you know, like that about respecting other countries' sovereignty and whatnot.
Right.
He's talking about the money. And he's right. And he's right.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And that falls right in with Financial Friday. You know, look at trillions of dollars have been spent on conflicts that ain't got nothing to do with our security. They, you know, ISIS ain't got no, don't control no land inside the United States and all that. Stop falling for the scare tactics like this other organization put out yesterday. 2/3 of the terrorist attacks that happen in the United States is by right-wing white males. Okay, so that's the terrorism we have to worry about and not worried about somebody else on the other side of the world. That's actually creating more terrorism and resentment from occupying these nations and what have you. But you know, this Irish journalist, he's not a citizen of the United States, but he works for The Hill, which is a U.S. paper that's based in Washington, D.C. So he's, you know,
right.
a salary journalist for The Hill. So he wrote an article yesterday accusing Trump of isolationism. So I was like, who is this dude? Whenever somebody, you know, writes something that I feel like is against what's best for the people, and you know, I try to look into their background. So I was like, who is this dude that wrote this article? So I looked it up. He's an Irish national. So I found him on Twitter. I asked him, I said, you accusing Donald Trump of isolationism because he wants to, he told the truth, though. You know, he lied about the raises, which everybody focusing on the lies that he said about, oh, the, you know, the military troops got a 10% raise and all of that. That was a lie, okay? But everything he said preceding to that was right. And he was saying that, you know, we're footing the bill for everybody else, and this ain't even our neighborhood, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, and you need to pay for it, and you need to take care of your own neighborhood, and we need to bring our troops back. This costing us too much money, and y'all been taking advantage. So, you know, when I looked up, I found out he was an Irish nationalism. I said, listen, I mean an Irish nationalist or Irish nation. National, meaning, you know, that's the country that he's a citizen of. So I looked it up, and he talking about isolationism, and, you know, you'll hear that from the talking heads on TV. Oh, the United States, we can't become isolationists. Look, nobody says you have to isolate yourself from the rest of the world. Like Ron Paul said, you can engage in trade, peaceful trade with other nations. But this military stuff, you know, we don't need to be entangling ourselves in all these conflicts all over the world. It's costing us in lives, and it's costing us trillions of dollars. So I said, listen, I forget his name. Let me pull up his name because I was just on Twitter. But I said, I looked up to see how many Irish troops are in the Middle East. How many of them are in Iraq? So I found an article from Ireland, an Ireland paper. In 2014, the Irish president, Higgins, announced that all seven of the Irish troops in Iraq were being withdrawn. Then the article, I asked him, did you accuse Higgins of isolationism? And then the article I found also mentioned the UK pulled out all their troops. I said, did you cry isolationism at the British? And so I'm like, this just proving Donald Trump's point. Y'all just want us. Y'all want the people of the United States to sacrifice blood and treasure while you sit back in the safety of your own borders and what have you. So, you know, people need, we need to critically think about these things and not be triggered because of anti-Trump derangement. You know, Trump needs to be checked where he needs to be checked. But when, you know, like Malcolm X said, I'm for the truth no matter who tell it, and Donald Trump telling the truth on that. Although it's not for the moral reasons that I say we don't need to be violating these countries' sovereignty, but he is still correct in saying this is costing us way too much money.
Right, Scotty, and it's basically because they can't afford to do it anymore. And they got entangled in all of these countries because they were the ones, they got entangled in it for a defined purpose, and that was to exploit the situation to that they actually instigated and created all of not all of the turmoil, but they exploited it, and they conveniently put themselves in the position to say, hey, we're the local loan sharkers that are going to come in and stabilize this, and everybody's going to pay us for it. Now that has overextended themselves. They can't afford to do this anymore by way of geopolitical influence, by way of military influence, and definitely economically. They've been slaughtered on all four of those, on all four of those fronts, and socially. Hey, they've been slaughtered on all four of those fronts, and they can't afford to do it anymore.
Hey, David, and one other thing that he said that didn't get a lot of attention, and he was exactly right on that. He said that concerning ISIS and the threat of ISIS, he said the CIA been cooking the books.
Exactly. Yeah, they've been cooking. That's what the U.S. is. That's American capitalism, cooking the books.
Well, also, as far as cooking the books, I don't know exactly what you mean completely by cooking the books, but along those terms, and we've talked about this several times, $21 trillion missing.
That's cooking the book. Exactly. That's more than cooking the book. That's smoking the books. That's grilling the books and barbecuing the books. That's cooking the books completely. When I say cooking the books, that means that there is all fraud, ubiquitous fraud in their accounting, meaning they're stealing. They're stealing hand over foot.
Yeah, in the case,
it's even go farther than that because they didn't even account for it.
Yes.
It's just gone.
Yes.
There's no record of it, no nothing, just gone.
Yeah,
you know?
In the context of his statement, what he meant by cooking the books is feeding us false intelligence about about these threats. Making them out to be something that they were. And then again, people forget it was reported by a mainstream outlet. Sometimes you can get the truth, you know what I'm saying? But they was like the Pentagon was funding one group in Syria, the CIA funding another group in Syria, and then them two ended up fighting each other.
Yeah, because there's fractionism within the military on the higher echelons for control and power, and they'll even shoot at each other. And Scotty's exactly right. You know, it's a cliquish military in the upper levels. It's a cliquish military, and they all have a certain, some of them serve different masters because that's who they're getting paid by. And what Scotty said in the context of the cooking the books, he's absolutely right. Cooking the books has very different meanings depending on how you're using it to describe what you're explaining. So in that context, he's actually right. They were cooking the books. They're lying about everything, the reason why they're there, who are the actors. And the thing is that the malevolency of it all is the U.S. and the overall agenda of these organizations that they actually serve. So, yes, so true.
And as far as you're talking about the clicking, you remember, because then you bring in Blackwater, which were mercenaries.
Yeah.
And their complaint was those mercenaries, which are privately paid military personnel, they weren't listening to nobody.
Yeah, for corporations. And they're fully funded, and they serve a corporate interest. And they're hired. They're guns for hire. So, yeah, so true. And, these things we need to start being more clear on because, you know, when Donald Trump says, hey, you can't be the policeman anymore. Well, it's not a policeman that they are. It's just the thugs, and they can't afford to do it anymore. If they could do it, they would be continuously doing it. And this is why I think that Donald Trump was actually selected as the CEO of the Corporation of the United States Government, because he's a bankruptcy expert. They needed a CEO that was a bankruptcy expert for this, and that's why this guy was actually put into the position, because he's an expert on bankruptcy. He does it very, very well, and he continues to do it and on the corporate side of this corporation. He's the CEO to bring in for bankruptcy. It's just like Sears is going under, and the other – one sec, Keith. Like Sears is going under, GE is going under. What they do when they start to go under, Deutsche Bank is going – when they start to go under, they bring in CEOs to help unwind and untangle the over – I mean, have the overall bankruptcy move in an efficient manner. So you bring in specifically individuals for that. So, but go ahead, Keith.
Okay, so I just needed clarification of what you were saying. Because, yeah, they bring in CEOs to troubleshoot whatever, to guide them where. But now Trump, he just did it out of not an expert on bankruptcy. He's an expert on bankruptcy because of his incompetency. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's okay. Exactly. That's okay. Well, that's what he's good for. He's good for bankruptcy because he has extensive experience in it, and that's why he was, you know, he's the perfect figurehead for right now. So
I got a different take. I got a different take. I think Donald Trump, if the reports are right, was recruited by the Clintons, and they felt that Donald Trump, you know, knowing who he is, how he talk, how he operate, and all this, that it was no way that Hillary Clinton would lose to him. It was all a setup to coronate Hillary Clinton as the next CEO of USA Inc. So, you know, I just have a different take on that. I never think that the shadow government wanted Donald Trump. His purpose was to play the fool, to be so incompetent, to be so blatantly racist on the campaign trail. They thought, hey, Americans would never voters would never vote for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. She got all this experience and blah 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 blah. And you know, a lot of people didn't go for it, you know. And I think, you know, a lot of people didn't vote for Donald Trump because they were voting for Donald Trump. It was a vote against the establishment and Hillary Clinton and that whole cabal of corruption. And it, you know, it continues. But also now that he's in there, you know, if anything major happens, it ain't even have. It doesn't matter if it's because of anything he did or not. They gonna blame him. They gonna blame him for why defense stocks is falling, because, you know, well, I don't think defense stocks are going to fall because he's selling weapons everywhere he can, you know, and mm-hmm. what have you. But I just really think that they never intended for Donald Trump to get in there.
Yeah, and you know, the Trump-Clinton history is pretty extensive. Pretty extensive. And there's a, you know, Scotty, there's a lot to that I definitely could subscribe to, and it's just perfect for where the U.S. needed to be right now, in a complete state of where it is. So I definitely can subscribe to a lot of what you said,
but also, you know, like you call it the untied states, man. I don't think it's a bad thing if the empire crumbles, man. You know, like I was saying to this other guy, this dude named Malcolm Nance, you know, I saw him on Roland Martin pushing some Russian conspiracy theories, talking about the Russians, the ones that created the theory that the U.S. government created AIDS. And I'm like, no, he ain't present no evidence of what or nothing. But then others is talking about, you know, Donald Trump not dodging the draft, although they didn't criticize Bill Clinton too much for dodging the draft. But he was saying how brave these people were for going to Vietnam. And I was like, wait a minute, so you saying people who were forced to go kill some people on the other side of the world that did not attack them, that's bravery? I was like, I don't think so. I was like, you got a very colonized mind. And, you know, I know that a lot of Well, all people do it. It's not just black people, but you was touching on this yesterday about leaders. You know, you hit it on the head. You know, yesterday talking about Barack Obama and Michelle Obama voted the most popular, you know, figureheads in the U.S. surpassing Hillary Clinton. I'm like, that's a useless, meaningless poll. What is that about? Popularity, you know, like we in high school electing the prom king and the prom queen or something. I'm like, the older we get, the more childish we seem to stay, you know. And so, you know, I'm saying, I said that, you know, the Obama stole the soul of black people. We went from identifying with other oppressed people around the world to now being cheerleaders of American empire.
That is so true. So true. And there's a price for all of that. And it's all a setup. It's really, really all a setup and part of the play. And we need to be real keen. And I think it's got to hit, you know, the older we get, the more childlike we act. And that definitely that needs to be changed. We need to have a measure of real, real truth. And a measure of real, real truth means that. And one of the things about finding truth means that you're not looking to be right. You're looking to actually stand with the truth. And to me, that's essential. So definitely, it's a lot of things that we should be paying attention to that we're not, in the things that we should be doing, we definitely don't even know that we should be doing them because of the childish nature. And I would even say it's a state of ennui, and we're really in a catatonic state of, we're really hypnotized in so many things, and we don't care about the things that we should, and we care too much about things that we shouldn't. That makes us extremely vulnerable to being subjugated. And so that needs to be broken.
Well, and I think with that, I think a lot of times when you get into discussions, they become a unilateral discussion, whereas our problem's not unilateral. Our problem is a problem all the way across the board, educationally, as far as propaganda, like you said. We're disillusioned, we're broken, we're scattered, we're divided, we're uneducated, we don't know the truth, we're, you know, and you can see it in every aspect of your life. You talked about Facebook, what Facebook does. Turn on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. There's not a program on there where you have a family unit that operates as a family unit.
Yeah.
Not one. Now, you might sound like that sounds like a minor thing, but every study has shown that all society, if it works or not, comes down to the security and the operations of the family in that society.
Monkey see, monkey do. When you start to see things that are despondent, that are in a state of chaos, then guess what you will think is normal? Being despondent and functioning in chaos.
Well, and that's because that's who we naturally are.
Yeah.
And again, we got to use an example. If you take a child, right? Never do you have to interrupt that child from doing the right thing. He automatically knows how to do the wrong thing and everything.
Yeah.
As far as being selfish, mine.
Right. Okay,
everything he does is wrong. You constantly got to say, no, little Johnny, do it this way. And you've got to correct them to the right path. Why? Because naturally, that's where we are.
Yeah.
We have to be programmed to do the right thing. But if you look as a society, we'll go back to what the responsibilities of the government is, because they have a lot to do with it, like it or not. Because the fact of the matter is, morality, behavior, all of those things have to be, it goes back to our old African thing. Absolutely. It takes a village.
Yeah. Encourage.
Yeah, it takes a village.
Yeah.
Not a family, it takes a village. And the government's got to be a part of that village, but it has to be done in a positive way. Well, we're void of all of that now.
Yeah, and we've been that way for a very, very long time. And the overall cancer is pretty deep and pretty big, and it's consumed.
Oh, it's malignant.
Yeah, it's consumed.
Yeah.
It's consumed much of the body. And so we're definitely going to jump into that. But let's get to what's in the news, and then we'll jump into today's show. Next article, this comes from Medium. Man, this is really, really important. The economy of the future won't rely on money. A member features a story. Let me just say this. That's the worst thing that ever could happen to you, is that you have an economic system that doesn't rely on money. Now, when I say it doesn't rely on money, it's different than what this individual is saying completely. The ecosystem relies on money. What makes you think that you can't? Money is natural. Money is energy. Money is energy that has intrinsic value. It's not what man... See, man created an imitation form of money called debt and cash. That's what they're speaking of. And that's the worst thing that you could ever have. They're actually speaking of getting rid of things that have intrinsic value and just go into fantasy, what's virtual reality of things. Boy, you're going to get enslaved so much further. And this is what this is. And so we're going to have a conversation on this next week. This is a show that we have to take care of the other ones. But this is very, very important. Let me just read the quick subtitle on this. Did I have it pulled up? Yeah, let me pull this up really quickly and just give you a synopsis of what this is. And this is, it says, Stephen Hendricks believes that someday money will seem like an ancient religion. Boy, when that day happens. And see, there, most everyone is thinking about currency that they're talking about, but that's not it. Not it. In his recent book, Money for a Non-Money Economy, the German philosopher and media theorist speculated on how the money-based global economy could soon transition to an entirely different system based on the algorithm matching of goods and services. Stop right there. The key to that whole thing is algorithm matching. The key to that whole thing is algorithms. Algorithms is computer generated, made by man, that is not, and it's corrupted by man's intention. It's not the ecosystem. The ecosystem is not corrupt. Man trying to manipulate the ecosystems through tools such as algorithms is where corruption goes into spot. So what they're basically saying is that algorithms will determine your goods and service. When that day happens, the furtherance of this is where you have a different generational times where you have revolutionized subjugation goes to another level. That's what that is. And boy, I don't want to be a part of that at all. So we'll cover that a little bit later.
Before you do.
Yeah.
Now, of course, nothing works in a vacuum and nothing is perfect. But I gather that what you guys end up saying is, of course, it wasn't perfect, but prior to the early 1970s, we were all right.
What do you mean, all right?
Well, of course, nothing was perfect.
Okay, you said that.
When currency was backed, were supposedly backed for every dollar and was backed by an ounce of silver or gold, we should have been able to carry through with that.
It never left. It's still in practice today. To this day. Most people think that when Nixon closed the gold window in the 70s, most people say that the U.S. left the gold standard. And the United States has never left the gold standard. It's still in existence today. But what happened, Keith, was that they actually got the people to be ignorant to the importance of that. And then now you can bring in debt in a form of way to where people think that debt is money. Now their ignorance becomes their plight.
See, and correct me if I'm wrong,
But that's only one aspect of it.
That's an aspect of it.
And
yes.
Because also what allowed them to do is that allowed them to print at will,
yep,
without it being backed by anything.
Yes. 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 By purely by debt. And you were always you were fundamentally right. But the only thing I wanted to say was that the US has never left
right
the gold or
sure
silver standard. China has never left. Russia has never left. Countries around the world have never left the gold or silver standard. But what they do is they don't focus on it so that you will what? Not know the importance of it. And if you don't know, as you always say, you don't know what you don't know. And so, but what you're saying is absolutely fundamentally correct, Steve. And what happens is as man continues to create these imitations, the imitation of what the great creator has in the ecosystem. See, the great creator had the ecosystem to sustain life. Man has an economic system to manipulate life and to manipulate and to exploit and to subjugate life. Then what is this life? Life is the money of existence. It's the energy. And so that's what they're trying to do. They're stealing your energy. These algorithms will steal your energy even further than what the overall debt instruments were able to do. Really, 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 really significant. So yes, you were always fundamentally correct in that whole thing, Keith. But it always has to be tempered with, okay, the important thing is money. And money is not just silver and gold. You cannot live without money. Most people have that misconception that you can. There's no person that can live without money. There's no living entity that can live without money. What is money? Money is energy that sustains you. You can't live without the sun. The sun is money. We can't live without water. Water is money. We can't live without food. Food is money. We can't live without relationships in a same way. That's money.
Money is anything that's
intrinsic.
Got a true intrinsic value,
yes,
within itself.
Yes. Because it exists, that intrinsic form, that intrinsic value is a part of its existence. I always like to say the best way to define what is money and what isn't money is very, very easy. If man created it, it's not money. If it's natural and it's made by the great creator, it is money. That's what money really is. If God made it, it's money. If man made it, it's currency. And believe me, all of their currencies is monopoly to control and have a monopolization of your life, your money. Very, very, very critically important. One of the most important fundamental things that we should actually know is the difference between currency and money. Huge, of huge, huge, major importance, because that solves and that actually gets to the root of what is causing the prideful and disenfranchisement that we have globally. Once we understand that, we have to understand the enemy before you can defeat him. What is the enemy after? What does the enemy need? The enemy needs money, not currency. Money. And that money is you and everyone else obeying and all these other things that go along with it. Once you know that, now you can properly, no matter how big your enemy is and how formidable your enemy is, the Achilles heel of every enemy that you would have a confrontation with in order to defeat them is all you have to do is attack them at their Achilles heel. What is it that they need? And you prevent that from being able to, and you sever that tie,
just simply cut them off.
It's over. They done. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall, because the weight of what they've established to get that becomes unbearable by them, because they don't have what it is that they want and what they need. It's really what they need, not what they want.
Now, with that being said, you just brought up this.
Hold on, Raj. We're going to go to you in one sec. Go ahead.
I simply thought the bigger you you are, the harder you fall, and how that's necessary. Now, what that brought to mind is 2008. Well, actually, we'll go to 1998, mm-hmm. and that whole thing was too big to fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we protected all those organizations, the banks, the institutions, because they said they were too big to fail.
2008.
But they should have been allowed to fail.
Yeah.
Because if they were allowed to fail, then we could have fallen back to what they said we always have, but what we haven't had in a long time, which is true capitalism. Now, capitalism in its purest form is always going to lead to destruction eventually.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you would have allowed those too big to fail, and done away with all those monopolies and let the individuals enter back into the market on a fair playing game, you would have been able to roll the clock back decades, and it would have lengthened our society operating in a semi-normal manner for decades in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Yeah, it would have changed the overall paradigm of people knowing, because then people would have been saying, oh my goodness, we've been had for so long, that it would have pulled back the veil to see the Wizard of Oz is really small and insignificant, and using tricks to lie and to deceive. So it would have pulled back the proverbial curtain on the Wizard of Oz, which that book, you should read the overall Frank's book, the original book, The Wizard of Oz, is really about economic enslavement. You really, really need to read it. It's amazing, you know. Dorothy's slippers, Dorothy's shoes were what? Originally in the first one, weren't rubies. Because rubies can't do what silver slippers can do. And to follow the yellow brick road, that actually was what? Gold. And what was the Emerald City? Was the bankers. That's why it was green. And it all had, and it was, took the characteristics of man psychologically and put it in each character.
The name of the book is what?
What do you mean the name of the book is The Wizard of Oz?
That's the movie. If you the buy book? The book, it gets into the stuff you're talking
yes,
about.
That's what Frank meant in The Wizard of Oz. It was actually a way to get people to understand that the overall economic system is manipulated, and that's what's destroying you. And the most important thing was that Dorothy's silver slippers, what did she have to do to get back home?
Click them.
Why was that? Because clicking them, when you activate silver, there's a scientific physics explosion that happens where you can actually traverse the universe.
All right, so
it's huge. It's so much to it.
My question is, you can buy a book. Does it break that down?
No. You have to read. It was probably one of the most important books that you could ever read about the economic system to understand it. But you have to read it from an asymmetrical. You have to read it with an asymmetrical mind. You have to find out why was Dorothy's slippers? Why did Frank have Dorothy's shoes as silver? Why was there a yellow brick road? Why was it an Emerald City? Why were all the characteristics there? It was just a genius breaking down, getting you the message. Do you understand the message that was trying to be put to you? That's the Wizard of Oz.
That is fascinating.
Oh man, it's so much more. I think that, you know, a lot of people ask me, hey Dave, what's a real good book to read, right? I give certain books, but one of the most fundamentally some of the most fundamentally sound books, one is The Art of War, two is The Wizard of Oz. And I would say that The Wizard of Oz is even much more influential and more significant than the Art of War. It is the most significant financial writings ever.
I need to talk to you off the air.
It's the most significant, because it's really a book of it's an economic story of subjugation and enslavement.
I don't need to talk to you off the air.
Yeah,
I need to talk to you. And have you ever thought about writing a book on The Wizard of Oz?
No. No.
That would be profound, worthwhile, needed, and I'll come up with some other superlatives along the way.
Yeah, we
that needs to be done.
We too busy, Chief. You know this. You know that. So, but hey, we got to let me. I don't want to because I know my man Roz is in queue. Let me go to Roz. But when we go to Roz, I probably want to go into the. But I don't know what Roz is doing. He may be having to do something. So we need to get to him. Roz, what's going on, bro? What say you?
Hey, peace. How you doing, brother Dave?
What's up, bro? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good. I'm actually working from home today, which is good for me. Peace to brother Keith as well, and to Scotty as well. Great conversation. I just put something
on,
in the thread.
Rod, because I don't want to interrupt you. If we come out of the commercial break, let's go to you so that it's not interrupted. I want you to be able to flow through.
No problem.
Okay.
I'll just mute myself. Okay, no problem. Thank you. I'll mute myself.
Yeah, we're gonna go to commercial break. But Chief, I will say this. There is and I was writing one, but I said that it's not time yet. And I don't know, and I think I've pretty much started to write one, and it's really for my children. In my family, and it's that one. I'm gonna, going to complete. And if you really think about it, every single person in the world is a part of your family. So I guess I will. But it's and I'll just say this, real quick. The reason that slavery started historically, the true reason why slavery started. Was for one thing and one thing only, to control someone else's energy to make someone else extremely wealthy.
Yeah, great.
And the actual initial and most critical pivotal part of slavery had to do with the precious metals. And it was the precious metals that actually institutionalized slavery. And the precious metals is really the only thing that can end the institutionalization of slavery. So you have to go back to the beginning as to what caused it to what? To change it. And it was by the malevolency of man and the malevolency of not only man, but living entities and species in this universe that were draconian in nature. That's what it was really about, and how it started. But listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Scotty, give me 2 minutes in the commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
For all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the fourth coming live, future shot. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven from amidst the heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep in orbit with the probable tenth. The universe expands length, the body of my text possess extra strength, power lifted, powerless, up out of this towering inferno. My ink so hot it burned through the journal. I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway and Myrtle. Hip hop past all your tall social hurdles, like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex, working class poor, better keep your alarm. alarm set. Streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring. Say it back in with your sleep. It's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip back. You dead now. Killing fields need blood to grade the cash cow. It's a numbers game, but shit don't add up somehow. Like I got 16 to 32 balls to rock it, but only 15% of profits. Ever seen my pockets like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crack. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key. 5 minutes sentence here and then you no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right. You are not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror zone. Full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers. Young teens in prison greens facing life numbers. Crack mothers, crack babies, and AIDS patients. Young bloods can't spell, but they can rock you a PlayStation. Snoo Mathers with my motherfucker's ass. You want to know how to rhyme? You better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call. I'm going to go to my man, Roz, that's waiting in queue. Roz wanted to chime in. Roz, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Hey, Peace, how you doing?
What's up, Roz? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just here getting some work done, but I was listening to the program. Great conversation. I actually put an article in the thread regarding exactly what you discussed on The Wizard of Oz. I'd actually posted like two articles on that probably like 2 years ago on BTR Community. And it definitely does explain just that. It's actually an allegorical, metaphorical kind of a story in regards to what has happened to us financially, especially to the average citizen who doesn't know what real money is or understands pretty much what real money is and how it works. I put that in the thread. And when you were talking about slavery and precious metals, you are absolutely correct. What brought Europeans' attention to the continent was Mansa Musa, when he went on his pilgrimage to Mecca and splurged all of this gold along the way. That's what really brought European attention to the fact that Africa had those types of riches. And of course, shortly there later, in the early 1400s, is when the first encounters with being kidnapped by Europeans happened. The Arabs were involved long before the Europeans were. But yeah, you are absolutely correct about that. And I think that that's very important, the concept of energy. And that's something that I learned first from Dr. John Henry Clark back in the 80s. And then Gus, on the context of white supremacy, he reinforces that. There's the importance of the correct and proper use of your time and energy. And one thing I did recently was that I've been researching cartoons that I used to watch when I was a child. Just to get a better understanding of what was being put in my head that I wasn't aware of back then consciously. And I started watching the Transformers, which was one of the most influential cartoons in my childhood, the old ones from the 80s. And the entire premise of the series was the Decepticons stealing energy. Every episode is about them finding some form of energy that they could steal from the planet Earth to take over the universe. And as I was watching this, and they have other themes and stuff too, but the overall theme is theft of energy. Theft of energy all the time. And I was like, wow, this is really, really, and I immediately thought of you. I immediately thought of what real money is. I immediately thought of a lot of the things that I learned from my elders about time and energy, because those are the two things that you don't get back. You don't get back time that you lose, and you don't get back energy that you expend. So the importance of where you place that, and when you combine it with attention, that's why they call it the attention economy, because to pay attention also is a use of your energy. It's a powerful concept, and it's something that we really should get as deeply involved in understanding as possible, and try to train our children on those concepts as early as possible. with that, I'll mute myself and just, you know, listen to the back end. Great program. Thank you, brother. Peace and love to all of you.
Much love, much respect, Rod, as always. And, you know, Rod had said he looked back at the cartoons, and yeah, the Transformers, Voltron. I'm a little bit older, so I go back to Voltron and some of the other things. But there's I'm going to give you one, and it was one of the significant cartoons that really didn't get much, that Stan Lee was involved in. Him and another individual was involved in the Silver Surfer. If you ever want to know the truth about, if you want to start finding some things about Silver, the Silver Surfer, the original Silver Surfer stuff, and I have some of those original comics and everything else. And the significance of the Silver Surfer, and you research the story, you know, because it actually Stan Lee didn't come up with the Silver Surfer, was actually someone else. And they actually feuded with each other over that. That's why the Silver Surfer wasn't really put out. And my overall estimations is that was one of the background stories, but the real reason is that the overall institution of the silver screen movies didn't want the Silver Surfer story really told and explained and expounded upon, because then it would cause people to think. You know, the Silver Surfer is black?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A black dude with green eyes.
What a comic book.
A black dude with green eyes.
Which one is out of that? Is that a DC? Or who was it?
What? That was Mark. Stan's. Stan Lee's.
Which one is he?
He's Marvel.
He's Marvel?
Yeah. Yeah. And they had a shelf, the Silver Surfer. And I'm not going to say too much. We'll do one day. We'll just do a video of the Silver Surfer. But yeah, it plays into some historical truths. And I'll just say, the Silver Surfer is a brother with green eyes. And everything how that whole thing goes is phenomenal. And it speaks to the overall galactic truth.
And he came about by Stan.
No, Stan didn't originate it. No. Stan was always in a feud with the original creator of the Silver Surfer. But it's been my understanding and I think that even the person that they admit was, or are they, the celebrity figurehead, all of these individuals are celebrity figureheads. The true nature of that is hidden. It's kind of like Bitcoin. They told you this guy did it, but that's not really where it is. But the Silver Surfer story is phenomenal.
So we don't know who the original author is.
Yeah. I would just say it's a part of historical truth. So there is no original author. But to characterize it into that, well, then that was someone else's, like Frank with The Wizard of Oz. There's a lot of information that's there, there's a message that's trying to be conveyed. So when Rise talked about the cartoons, and he talked about the Transformers, go back to the Silver Surfer and see what that original story is all about. Oh, goodness, phenomenal. So let's get to it, because we got to get into today's show. But no, we're going to go where we are. So Chief is here. Next article, real quick. This one is from, let me pull this up real quickly. You know what? I want to, so let me get through this real quick. And we really need, we're probably going to have to carry this show into the show we had today into next week. But let's get into this. From Sovereign Man, it's official, the Federal Reserve is insolvent. Check out that article. Next article, my man Carlos sent me this one. Thanks, Carlos.
This is from Defense One. Russia launched a cyber attack against the Ukraine before ship seizure, the firm says. And probably so, yes. And they're going to be hitting whoever tries to attack them in the Black Sea is about to get lights out on their butt. Yeah, that article. Next article, also from Carlos from Defense One. Inspectors find big cyber vulnerabilities in the U.S. missile defense system. Oh, without a doubt. Yes. Next article, and I posted this one. Forward. Defense One. Inspectors find big cyber vulnerabilities in the United States missile defense system.
USS Cook.
Yes. There you go. Donald Cook. Yep. Yep. Ask Israel over the Christmas holiday. Israel attacked Syria, and then Syria handed it to Israel. They sent up 55 missiles, only 7 got through. Syria didn't send up anywhere near, and none of their missiles were intercepted. This is why you will see the U.S. will have no allies. Israel is going to go against them as well. Why? Because they can't win anymore. The whole tables around the world is being turned upside down. That's what the
system is. But Israel ain't got no allies.
No. No. But they're going to do what? Cut a deal.
With who?
With China.
Don't know nobody like Israel.
With China and Russia.
Don't nobody like Israel.
Yeah, but it's strategically placed in a very strategic, you know, real estate. Right?
Well, yeah, I got a brain.
So there's a strategic importance to
Israel. I hear what you're saying. And you know I am not one to look at things differently than you.
No.
Remember in the word yes. says that the whole world descends upon Israel.
Right.
So Israel's going to be by themselves.
Yeah.
And that might include us because we're not included in none of that conversation. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but I don't think that Israel, the biblical Israel, is completely different than...
No argument.
Okay, all right.
I agree with that.
Because David never had a star.
There
was no such thing as a star of David.
Well, also, Dave, you know, we're talking Bible, prophecy, the Hebrews, which are then referred to as the Jews, were prohibited from coming together as a nation until the Messiah, which is Christ, comes back and reestablishes Israel. So when people, you know, talk about, you know, Israel shouldn't exist, well, that's biblical. Has the Messiah come back? Well, that's biblical. You know, not that I'm talking about it in terms the way, you know, genocidal maniacs right. talk about it.
Right.
But I'm just talking about biblical yeah. history. But listen, though, you know, when y'all brought up Israel, it just brought something to my mind about this border wall. Now, I think the border wall would not be effective for its stated intended purpose. You know, that's what they got tunnels for. You know, it'll just cost more for the human smugglers to smuggle their human cargo in. It's certainly not going to stop any kind of drug smuggling, which is in decline because of all the states who have legalized cannabis. But I don't think the wall would be a good way to spend resources on. Plus, I don't want to be trapped, you know, behind the wall. But this opposition,
right,
though,
Scotty? That is so true. But go ahead.
I just can't help but note hypocrisy from neoliberals who aren't that much different than neoconservatives in the Republican Party, but they're talking about they don't support this wall, and you know now the government is partially shut down because of it. But these same neoliberals didn't have a problem with sending Israel $3 billion a year of your money, of my money, or you know, that they take from us, and I'm talking about money in the terms of energy,
mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. we get in currency,
right.
and they take before we even see it. But, you know, they're using that money to do what? To build a wall around Israel. So, you know, just a hypocrisy.
Yep, so true. So, yeah, we all concur that that's not the... You know,
David didn't have a star.
Yeah, you like David I said, this would be quite another conversation. But yeah. Basically, what he's talking about is the millennium,
mm-hmm.
in which Christ comes back and he rules over Israel for 1,000 years. But then you're going to get into, well, what is the rapture and all that kind of stuff. But I think the other thing that Scotty said was interesting as far as the wall is not to get too political, but the Democrats, and we'll say Democrats as opposed to the liberals, et cetera, they're not saying they don't want border security, which is what Donald Trump is.
They're saying they don't want a wall, which I don't want a wall either, Keith, but Israel has been building a wall.
But you know, the difference is Israel is about as big as a gnat. You know, and the difference is, okay, let's say like the stuff's about to hit the fan here, and we think about some of the things that's going to happen here, right? Well, one of the first things that I want to talk about when I'm building the place that I recess to protect myself, the first thing that I think about is building a wall. But when you start talking about the United States building the wall, as opposed to Israel building the wall, you're looking at completely two totally different things.
I disagree, but we can move on from that. Just to let y'all know, not to cut you off, Keith, but to let you know, Dave.
We're going
to
have a show about that.
Yeah, you got another call.
We're going to have a show about that. And then when we have that show, we're going to make sure that it's during the election time. After you come back for canvassing for the Democratic National Convention and everything else, we're going to get you, you know, all wound up on that, because Keith is a big proponent of that, which is okay.
Well, I'm not actually.
Let me take my jab. Just take the punch, Keith, okay? So I agree with Scotty. But we're going to come back to that.
I don't want the wall.
Hey, you got Tim Davis on the line.
That's why I love this platform. This is why this platform is so, so important, and we got to support it. Please, everyone, if you're listening, give a donation to Black Talk Radio Network. We need your support, else we won't be here. Moving on, real quick. Next article from CNBC.
Hey, real quick, Dave, you got Tim Davis wants to chime in. Before you move on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see the board. Yes, we got Brother Davis or Sister Davis is there. Brother Davis or Sister Davis, welcome to the Tando Radio Show. What say you?
It's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Always good to hear the voice of a friend. A friend. Yes. What's going on, Brother Davis?
You guys, first of all, let me get the main thing out the way. We're looking to return January 16th on that Wednesday. That's the target date that we're coming from, and literally the first show is going to be about how we have achieved what we've got to this point. But listen, man, you guys got a lot of stuff on the table, so let me give you some insight that I have. First, when you was talking about the Stan Lee got the concept of all of his comic characters from Orisha. I would suggest you look up Orisha. You'll see that there's a lot of platitudes that actually parallel exactly what his characters do. So it's not like he was a total creative mind behind that. One, two, the Jews that are spoke about in the Bible are not the Jews that are in Israel today. The Jews that are in Israel today are Zionist Jews. They are descendants from the Khazars from the mountains of Caucasia. Don't take my word for it. Like I always say, look it up. But you'll see that the Jews of the Torah have always been in conflict with the Zionist Jews. And this is basically behind visible biblical principle. And for those of you who aren't aware of what the Torah is, it was the original writings that had to deal with the original Jews, according to the Bible. But great show. I'm definitely listening when I can. And the different entities coming with the different inputs is what really makes Black Talk Radio the magnitude of information that you receive. So, and I'm definitely going to give you a call later, Scotty, because my wife has been on me about getting back into the activity of the BTR community. So we got to reestablish that. But I wanted to say the best of everything and everybody. Happy New Year and all that stuff. And I'm looking forward to some close interaction in the year to come.
Brother Davis, give our regards to the Queen, Sister Davis. Much love, much respect. Can't wait. We'll, but take the time whenever you're ready. We'll be here. Great Creator willing, and looking forward to Wise Wednesdays as always. And you know, Brother Davis and Sister Davis are so crucial to this overall show and this network. I greatly appreciate you all. You know, Brother Davis was talking about when he's talking about Stan Lee and everything. Yeah, you research some things because I purposely stop it some way so that people will do some of their own. It will actually spark the curiosity of individuals to do some things. I think it's always healthy for us, as Brother Davis always says, do your own due diligence, and that's so true. So, and it was, you know, let me just say this about Israel. The flag of Israel that has the Star of David, as I said before, there was no... The biblical David never had a star. No such thing. You can't find it. It's not there because it didn't exist. That overall star came from what was a rabbi. It was a rabbi of Prague, okay, out of Prague. And his name was David. And his name was David Oppenheimer, the same Oppenheimer family that bought you atomic weaponry. That's who that star was named after, for what he did in Prague in the war. So they gave him a symbol, and they gave him a name, and that was the Star of David. That was the overall Zionist move that from what made its overall move through what we say is today, this century and last century's history. So very, very, very important. That's David Prague, same family that brought you the atomic weaponry and bought you Apple. That's who was really behind Apple. It wasn't the celebrity figurehead Steve Jobs as much. It was Peter Oppenheimer.
The great grandson.
The extension of the Oppenheimer, he would go even further, but his father, Robert Oppenheimer, is known as the father of atomic energy, weaponizing energy. But it goes even further than the Oppenheimers. They weren't. It was the actual Germans getting silver out of the Anglo-Saxon mountains was the overall part of the spark that allowed modern-day man to weaponize silver. Because weaponized silver is nuclear weapons. That's really what it is. So, but we got to... We'll go on. That's why Dorothy clicking her heels is so important. Fusion, boom, man. So, but we gotta move on. So, much love, much respect to you, Brother Davis, Sister Davis. Greatly appreciate you all. Great, great, great show. So next, from CNBC, a meeting between Trump and Iraq's leader scrapped over disagreement. The Iraqi prime minister said, I posted this the other day, but I wanted to highlight that because of this. Next article from The Guardian, Iraq lawmakers demand U.S. to withdraw troops after Trump's surprise visit. Yeah. Next article from South China Morning Post, the PLA, the People's Liberation Army of China, tells Taiwan, military resistance to reunification is a dead end. Check out that article. Next article from MSNBC. Says U.S. federal workers are highly upset. Let me see this real quickly. Let me get it. In between keeps playing his algorithmic games, as you can hear in the background. Here we go. Federal workers, some in panic mode, share shutdown fears on social media. Now, I just say this. I have it's funny how Congress has actually legislated that they will always get paid no matter what. Boy, we keep allowing this stuff. Stupid. Next article from RT International. The devil you knew, old foes, India and China, strengthen ties as America proves to be unreliable. They're being politically correct here. India and China's critical in the BRIC nations. So what did the U.S. do? The U.S. already realized that they lost India, and India was critical to them. So what did they do? They try to break up BRICS. They're going to make a move to break up BRICS. You know what the country that they're going to use to do it? They're going to try to do it, but I don't think it's going to work at all. Brazil. This is why Brazil has a celebrity figurehead selection that they call what?
Trump 2.
The Trump 2. That ain't going to work. It's a last-ditch effort for South America. Not going to work. Not going to work at all. Watch how that all falls apart. But there's always going to be, you know, they're going to try the walls. They're going to try to test the integrity of the structure. So check out that. Next article. This one comes from Sputnik News. Trump threatens to close U.S. border completely if Democrats refuse to finance the wall. Check out that article. And then Roz put in the Wizard of Oz, the economic fairy tale. So check out that real, real good situation there. So that's what's in the news. And that was great part of today's show. But what I want to do is I want to do something really, really quickly. And because today's show, we're going to have a part two of it. But because it's only 30 minutes left in the show, and I love the way that the show went, I never try to sway the show one way or another. But I want to play something for you. I'm going to post it in me just, and I have Scotty do it. Oops, one something. And it's going to be the Silver Surfer. And I want to real quick, the first series, the episode one, and it's pretty extensive. I'm going to play it because I'm going to have to, let me get the spot on it. And it's very significant. So I'm going to, if we would just play the first 6 minutes, Scotty, five minutes. Let me see. Let me get the first. We could play just the first 5 minutes. What, six? Yeah, 6 minutes. Go to 6 minute and 7 minutes. We'll do the first 7 minutes. We can do the first 7 minutes of this. I'm gonna post it inside of BTR community. And just so I just want you to hear just this and start to see the subliminal messages that are extremely significant. That, you know, there's a reason why Hollywood says that they say what? The silver screen. All of this is right in front of us. And, you know, because we haven't been educated in these things, we've been schooled in being the perfect slaves. And in being you don't want to have any form of education, because one of the key components to subjugating someone is that you have to keep them ignorant. If someone is able to do something and be educated and provide for themselves, you can't enslave them. It's difficult to subjugate them, because subjugation's real power is in the will. When someone is actually tricked and deceived into using their will in an adverse way against their best interest. So we're getting ready to go into our last commercial break. When we come back, Scotty, if you would just play the first 7 minutes of this. Just want to introduce, you know, you give you some of the nerdish.
Post it in the chat, please.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I am. I'm doing it now, Scotty. Just some of the nerdy things that I do, and it will really help
I think, with some things. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation when we come back, we're going to play just the first 7 minutes. And then listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll talk to you soon.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Incredibly complex, yet wonderfully simple. It encompasses all creation while racing towards its ultimate end. Within this maelstrom of growth and destruction blaze millions of galaxies, billions of stars and planets. This sector of the universe alone is home to uncountable civilizations. Sentient life, so varied that no one race would ever have been able to imagine the others. Throughout the ages, these civilizations have encountered each other time and time again, and have mingled their cultures and beliefs. Two societies, however, the Kree, a race so old that it is the basic stock from which developed all others, and the Skrull, avaricious upstarts who live only to serve their hive mother, have dedicated themselves to the subjugation of all others. For countless eons, they have battled each other for supremacy, with neither side able to gain a definitive advantage. Now a new power has entered this sector. A power so great that it makes everything else in the universe pale. Galactus, an immutable force as old as time. Galactus possesses incalculable knowledge and strength. Like a shark gliding through an intergalactic sea, Galactus uses his knowledge for only one thing, to find planets whose cores contain the nutrients that will enable him to survive. So great are his needs that he cares not for any consequence save his own nourishment. And after he is fed, shark that he is, all Galactus can do is move on. I am the Watcher. It is my task to note all events of significance in this part of the cosmos. Only to note them and never interfere. This task brings me great joy and great sorrow.
Norrin Rad, I knew I would find you here.
Think of the courage our ancestors had, Shalabah. To leave Zenla and soar out into the unknown.
We have had no need for space travel since the Enlightenment. We know that the path to peace and harmony lies within our own souls. Beings from all over the universe come here to learn our ways.
And yet never have I felt either peace or harmony within me. Instead, I am driven by dreams of other places.
But your place is here. There are even those who say that you will be the next master.
How can I become master of Zenla, Shalabah, when I cannot even be master over myself?
I believe in you, my love. Whatever happens, I will be at your side.
The Kree and the Skrull.
Never before have their soldiers come to Zenla. What can this mean?
Allow me to present our newest student, Captain Kallek of the Kree Empire and Commander Husserl of the Skrull Confederation.
My crew and I are honored to be accepted in your academy, Master.
My crew and I are more honored, especially since we were accepted first.
There is neither first nor last on Zenlar. Defying your leaders, you have bravely chosen to come to us in peace and take the first step towards stopping the strife between your cultures.
If these are the peaceful ones, I would hate to see the warlike members of their kind.
Norrin Rad, would you demonstrate the true importance of weapons here on Zenlar?
You will find our world unlike any to which you have ever been.
Oh? Perhaps someday you can tell me about all your travels.
People of Zenlar.
The Watcher,
I have seen him before. At the massacre of the Horseshoe Nebula.
Yes, my Nest brother perished there. It was a dark day for both sides.
I sensed your presence, Watcher. You are in pain.
Master of Zenlar, by speaking to you, I am breaking my most sacred vow. For millennia, the teachings of Zenlar have been a beacon of light and sanity in a universe darkened by chaos and strife. Now, in the hope that this light shall not be extinguished, I bring you the most dire of warnings. Know, all of you, that the being called Galactus is approaching.
I thought Galactus a myth.
And I hoped him one.
Master, what will we do?
We are listening, Watcher.
Galactus comes with a single purpose: to feed on your world. He himself is neither good nor evil. Whether or not you survive is of no significance to him. You on Zenlar have the power to reach into the hearts and minds of others. Your ways have changed the destinies of whole galaxies. Now, you must change your own.
We're back, Dave. Can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was trying to unmute. I hit my wrong button on my phone. Yeah, so I know it was kind of hard to hear, but that was the, I'm going to tell you what that is the Silver Surfer episode one. Very, very significant. And you can hear some of the things that was there on Zenlar with Norrin Rad and everything else. Very, 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 very crucial. You know, for me, is the most significant of all of the animated characters of all is that Silver Surfer is, as Keith, you already know, because I'm a big, you have Silver Surfer stuff all over the place with me, and it has a lot. So I would definitely suggest everyone look at that first episode one of Silver Surfer episode one. And then all of the 13 of them that were actually made. I remember the first time that I saw it, and it was just made such an impact on me. And then just so, and I actually didn't take it far enough, but this is when Galactus is first introduced. And what Galactus is Galactus is what? Neither, as they said, neither good nor evil. But what he does is that he consumes energy from planets. And so Zenlar was a very, very significant place in the universe. If you heard, they didn't have competition. There was no need for weaponry. This is what was seeded and planted in a young man such as myself. And I said, that makes all the sense in the world. But it's a lot. But the overall Silver Surfer story is profound. It tells so, so much. So I just wanted to play that since we were talking about that. But to me, of all of the Marvel characters,
Silver Surfer was the most significant and most important. This is why it never really got expanded past what it had. When they did do the last Silver Surfer movie, it was no significance, practical significance that Silver Surfer had. And you can't really do a Silver Surfer story without telling some real measures of meaningful truth. And so, you know, Stan Lee and, you know, was, and I really think that the system really did want people to know much about, but they'll always tell you, but you know, some things, but they don't want you to really get into it. So, you know, there was a big dispute. That's why Silver Surfer was never really cultivated and developed more within the Marvel, because of Stan Lee. So the publicized or the release feud between Saban and Stan Lee, but I think it was a whole lot more that was subliminal behind that, because Stan Lee was definitely involved with the CIA, extremely. Captain America and all this other stuff, all of the silver screen is, and the ties to put that all together. Even in Black Panther, you know, I think that was the last time that what's that called when they make an appearance in a movie?
Introduction?
No, appearance. I forgot.
Cameo.
Yeah, a cameo. Yeah, that was the last cameo of Stan Lee. But look at where he was and what he was around when he made his cameo appearance in Black Panther. He was doing the CIA deal.
Yeah.
In the black market.
Right.
Where the overall the premise was where these deals get made in the back rooms of these institutions and everything else. Told you what what it was all about. You know what that was all really, really very, very significant. So, but in my opinion, the overall publication of the short history of Silver Surfer was intentional. They didn't want too many people to come and say, "What? I get it." They didn't want people to read between the lines. It was a huge message. And Silver Surfer is probably the most is the most significant of all of the Marvel characters, and is the most mystery behind that overall individual, because that's what Silver is. So, but check out that Silver Surfer episode one. So now I let Keith and everybody into, you know, this is the nerdy things that I do and this and that. So, but I love doing it, man. It's me. It's helped me deal with a lot of different things, and I actually, from my overall engagement in the precious metals, started when I was a very, very, very young man. I was very, very young, and I never lost that overall connection. And I'm gonna tell you one individual that I actually admire in this whole thing, and in our precious metals class, I really expand on even more. Would be, you'd be surprised, Keith, was Warren Buffett's father. Probably one of the most significant individuals.
Yeah.
Well, and relevant individuals that this country has ever produced coming out of Congress. Yeah. The Buffett family are wealthy and billionaires, not because of Warren Buffett, but because of his father.
And I think it's also interesting that his dad was ostracized.
Oh, was hated. His dad and I'm, you know, his dad was pivotal for me to take the journey that I made, and I don't want huge phenomenal, and you know, some of the significant things that Warren has done, I see his father in all of it. See now when they talk about the, you know, when Warren Buffett and his partner get on and talk about gold and how is this ancient relic, you know. I laugh because they wouldn't want me at the interview, because Warren would crack up and laugh and go, "Yeah, Because you know what I would say? Warren, what would your father say? And that would be in the conversation. And this is why Warren Buffett acts the way that he acts. You notice he hangs with people that you wouldn't expect him to be hanging with?
Well, he's got a lot of his father in him.
But he has to be asymmetrical because he knows the history.
Self-preservation.
Yeah, he knows the history. Warren overstepped himself in the 90s and it almost got him killed.
Yeah.
And he took heed to it. And he won't make that mistake again, but he overextended himself.
And, you know, of course, we can't judge nobody's heart.
No.
I believe that Warren Buffett, I believe that dude's got a good heart. He ain't like most of those dudes there. I don't
know. Warren Buffett tells you subliminally a lot of different things that everybody should know.
Right.
What did he say about him? He said, it's something wrong if I pay less taxes than my secretary that only makes $53,000 a year. Warren is telling you some things.
Yeah.
Warren has always been telling you some things, but he realizes that he can't.
He can only tell you so much.
Because one thing, he's not his father. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but he had relations with his father, and his father schooled him on some things, and he saw the overall path that his father went on and what it did. But the Buffett family are billionaires. They are, I would say that they're more, they're generationally wealthy for a very defined reason. The father.
Sure.
Howard.
And what I was saying is, when I say he has a good heart,
yes.
And Warren Buffett, he's not like most of the people in his realm. He has a heart for the people. And if he could help the people more, I believe he would. And if he could tell more, he would also do that. And he attempted to do so. But like you said, he had his knuckles slapped for doing that.
Yes.
So he also has to understand that.
He took a different approach to doing it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he has to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you have to, and asymmetrical approach is very, very important until you gain momentum. But yeah, I agree. Warren Buffett is an individual that I don't see as, but I know that things could easily change. I don't know him personally, so I won't, but I know a lot about the history of his family and the significance. Now is you know, so that being said, it's just some things that how things play out is so funny. So, hey, everyone, get ready to get out of here. Just want to say, wow, Keith, this is the last show, Tando Radio Show, for 2018.
Man.
I want to make sure that we have a 2019 for Black Talk Radio Network, Tando Radio Show, and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Please, everyone, make a donation to this network to keep it on air. Who else? Where else do you get the type of, you know, conversations and interactions and information that you get here on Tando Radio Show or Black Talk Radio Network? It's not very popular. It's not commonplace. It's not easy. And we need to, the fruit that many of you have partaken in has been extremely nourishing to your overall body. Now it's time to feed the roots of that overall living entity that brings you that fruit that you can nourish yourself. And that's Black Talk Radio Network. Everyone, please, if you're listening, go and make a donation to this network to make sure, because 2019 may not, Black Talk Radio Network may have to say that it's going to go off air because it didn't have the overall grassroots support that it was intended to nurture. And it wasn't that Black Talk Radio Network has failed. It's done a marvelous job. But what is that we have been schooled to be takers and not givers. At some point in some time, we have to put our overall energy behind what we want to support. And that energy is some of your financial energy to support this network. And I just want to thank you all that have and will continue to do, and those of you that will actually respond to this overall call to save Black Talk Radio Network. It's a institution that has to be a part of the transformation, and it needs you to do that. So I just want to say to everyone, we won't have a show on Monday. We'll come back on Wednesday, on the 2nd of January, great creator willing, God willing, we will be here. And I just want to say thank you all. And this year has, this period has been a very trying time for me personally, and growth-wise, with my brother making a great transformation, my uncle making a great transformation, which is always expected. But I just want to say that engaging in having the energy with you all and having that relationship has been priceless. And I look forward to that overall relationship to continue to develop in the appropriate fashion and appropriate means. So much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And remember, everyone, if you don't, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.